celebration on the beautiful shore.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for truly, Lord, in this world, much trial, much tribulation. But Lord, it will be worth it all when we get over to the other side. And we know, Lord, in the sweet by and by, it will be. So Lord, give us your grace. Give us your blessing. Give us your strength, Lord. And your guiding hand, Father, as we journey this life that you have given us, Father, in this world that is not our home. So Lord, you bless now, Father, as you approach thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. All may be seated. All right. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 21. I just want to take a verse from here and then continue where we left off last Sunday. Luke 21, verse 26. Now, we have this chapter of Luke here that is, it talks about the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, all the way going to the future. But I just want to pick up this verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Just the first few words in the verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming on the earth. You know, already today, there have been much confusion upon this earth. There have been a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, all because of this pandemic. And because of the many deaths of those who were infected, and for those who were infected, that's and they have to be staying in the hospital for a long time, or perhaps confined to their home or some nursing facilities. And of course, now it seems that in Europe, there are a lot of citizens jumping queue and trying to get vaccinated. When the pandemic started, I forward you a message. I hope you all still remember what I wrote. That because of who we are and because of our faith, we should look to the Lord, not be fearful, because fear is contrary to faith. And we as believers, if we are so fearful, we cannot live the life that we want to, because we will be just having a lot of things go on my fearing Jesus going to be and all that. And as you have seen, that there are, I mean, I personally have seen it, and also hear from others, that there are a lot of people, they are so paranoid. And they go to the market, they come home, they wash all the dollar bill that they have in exchange, you know, with detergent. Yes. And there are those, even if you have seen them, have two masks. And well, Dr. Fauci said, yeah, masks are with two masks. And even some extremists in the early time, they put on a, what we call, a plastic bag over their head as they, you know, walk out. So there are a lot of, there are many people that have a lot of fears and fear in them that they become so paranoid, they do things that are just, well, seemingly reasonable to them, but to many it's just ridiculous. Yes, everybody wants to survive in this world, they want to make sure that they are not infected. But for us Christians, brothers and sisters, let us not just get all so worked up, so fearful. Alright? Do as you are required to do. Must up, keep your distance, and so on. When we talk about this unclean spirit, and as I said, when the Bible uses the word singular, unclean spirit is always talking about the spoke demon, the one that speaks on behalf of the rest. And you and I know, if you study the Bible, there is always this hierarchy system. as it is in the heavenly things of God, you know, as in the way that God has set up His system, the echelon, you know, and we also see that in the demonic world, Satan being the head of them all. Now, I ended last week with one thing. I said that we see in the charismatic world where a preacher in casting out demon, and they do certain things that you find unscriptural or things that's not in the Bible. But because one man started it, and others observe it, they imitate the same and it's passed down. You understand? And I have even seen, because I was with a brother, a preacher. So much influenced by charismatic, that when he prayed for a certain person, and I know one thing for sure, but you know, I want to tell you, there's something about familiar spirit, if you know. Just give you an understanding. Every country has its own culture, every race has its own culture. So there's a tendency for the race to behave in a certain way. I think you all know what I mean, right? You see. And just like if you go to England, for example, a culture where if you sit at the table in a posh area where the food is laid for you, and you are served one course at a time. And if you sit at a table, you see, you'll notice one of the tablecloth is always 99.9% always a white cloth. If not, then it's just a table. And you have a mat where you have a plate over there and a bowl over there. And you have, in fact, practically, if you look at it, there are at least 3 spoons and 2 forks laid before you. A pair on the left, a pair on the right, and the dessert spoon in front of you. You understand? That's the culture that they serve. And you're not supposed to use your hand, you're supposed to use the forks, and then you have to use the knife, they're also there. And the Chinese, we all know that we all use chopsticks. But in India, they so often they use hands to eat. So every country have a culture, and there's always a certain thing that the spirit in the world will always, of a nation or of a community of certain race, they will manipulate the people. Alright? So what we're talking about is the same thing when we come to organized Christianity, organized churches. That you see the Pentecostal do one thing, the different denominations do their own thing. And where we are charismatic, where, as I said, I was with this preacher. And I have noticed one thing when I went to India. When there's a certain prayer or casting out demon or praying for the sick, the Indian believer, they intend to manifest it in action. And even the action of a snake. Because in India, you know, paganism. And likewise also in Africa. They tend to behave in a certain way because it seems that they were supposed to be so. Now, this preacher was casting out the demon, so what he believed that this lady was possessed. In fact, she was a believer, a Christian. And besides, as a preacher prayed for her, she was told to hold a plastic bag and supposed to vomit. You know, I'm not calling on the demon, she's supposed to vomit to get the devil out. And I don't understand this whole thing, how it works. Now, that's why I've said there are certain things that preachers are doing that you find out in the scripture, and I would tend to move away from that and leave them alone to do whatever they want to do. So in this case, I said that you don't talk to the person and ask the person who's possessed, you think that he should possess, for the name of the demon. Talk to the demon. You don't. You know. And as Jesus said to the disciple, because some cases you cannot simply cast a demon so easily. You have to fast and pray, right? You have to fast. Now, I want to tell you this. because when we are talking about demonology, I ended up with saying that I want to tell you a little bit about Lester Sumrall. That's the preacher's name. Lester Sumrall was an Assemblies of God preacher back in the 50s. He had done two miracles that has been recorded and made into a movie, which is about 30 minutes film, and it is on the YouTube. You can go back and look at it. Alright? There was an event in Manila, Philippines, where a 16-year-old lady from a province, poor and all that, went over to Manila to try to find a living, and she ended up being a prostitute. So what happened one day, one night, was that she was arrested by the police for doing that and brought to the station. Now, while she was there, she was actually in the demon came actually possessed her. And she went into frenzy, and all the inmates that were around were terrified. So they sent for the doctor and, you know, psychiatrist come and examine her and say, oh, she's a demon, she's a schizophrenic and things like that. But then it was reported in the paper, and this Lester Sumrall was from America and read the news, felt sorry for her. He flew all the way to Manila to pray for her. And why, you know, he was praying for her, you know, the newspaper man came around. And they wrote in the newspaper, actually, you know, in headline, if I can remember clearly, like a boxing, round one, stalemate or something like that, you know, and preacher or missionary said they will come back after fasting. Now, before the incident, how did this Lester Sumrall went over to Manila was because the paper reported, and it was, you know, verified before the, you know, as a testimony, that the psychiatrist doctor just said that he's mad. You know, in psychiatry, you don't say a person is demon possessed. And I work in a mental hospital, I know, where as a Christian doctor was there, saw a case, and put down there, in the diagnosis, put down the query, demon possession. Whereas the senior registrant that came and reviewed the case, cancelled it, and put the word schizophrenia, but there's no such thing as demon possession. You know, and I was there, I knew the case. But in Lester Sumrall's case, this case in Manila, the psychiatrist was there, just said, no, she's just mad, you know, schizophrenia and so on. But next moment, you know, the policemen who were keeping this lady knew what was going on. And that was, she was suddenly, as the secretary left, she was screaming, and the policeman called the secretary back, come and look. They hold up her hand, and the next moment appeared the teeth mark on her forearm. Teeth mark appeared. Because how did he get that? It just appeared. How did it come about? So that's when Lester Sumrall read the case and went over to Manila to pray for her. And after fasting, he prayed for the girl, and the demon left her, and she told the pastor and says, he went out the window over there. And from that time, she was fine and went to the church that Lester Sumrall started in Manila. And there was another case. It is called Invisible Boy. Now, when I first came across that, I was fascinated how that a boy can become invisible. And this was verified by the mother, the teacher, the father, and friend. And it was documented. You know, the boy just, behaved very strangely and disappeared from the home, just went out from the home and never come back. After several days, they come back. And nothing happened. And a friend who was with him one day, and then he testified this, I was walking with him, and then suddenly they stopped in the field, and in front of there was some bushes with the water. And he said this, the young boy said, "There's a girl calling for me." You know? But he didn't see anything. And the boy went, said that there was a girl that was calling for me. So he walked towards the bush to where there is the wall. And as he walked over there, he suddenly just disappeared in front of his eyes. In the school, the same thing. The student, he was there in the front, the student, the teacher was there, the boy just come out here and start to talk and laugh, and he just disappeared. The mother said also the same thing. He sat in the sofa, making something, just turned around in front of her, the boy just became invisible and disappeared. Now I was stunned already, because is it possible for a person to just disappear? And of course, the Lesser Samdha prayed for him, you know, because of that demon. Now, you realize one thing, how do we explain this? But the Bible explains it. Do you remember Philip's transport? Do you remember how they got to take somebody in, take him over another place and disappear? And the boy actually disappeared, and then he was somewhere out there for several days, and then he came back. As if, and then he's become violent and become somewhat argumentative. Do you remember Elijah? You read the Bible, he appeared here one moment, he's somewhere else. That's God transported him. You see. So we have scripture to really verify that these things are true. That what God can do, the devil will do the same thing. So we are living in the world where we have today all this demonic influence. It is worse than it was back in, well, my childhood day, or we'll say go back 300-400 years ago, and back even 1,000 years ago. And the world has become worse than it was. The condition of the world, there are more diseases, more stress, people are getting more pressured. And so much so that there are five conditions I want to share with you about demonic influence. Alright, let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 24. Now remember this, when a person is demon possessed, he has actually become one like the demon. Sometimes, as I said, when Jesus refuted the devil with the man who was possessed with legion, you know, the devil take over and speak and answer. You know, and yet the man will worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That we not we need to understand this various effect. Luke chapter 11 verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walked through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he said, "I will return unto my house whence I came out." And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then go he and take to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last stage of the man is worse than the first. So, it is important to understand that when a demon is cast out of a man or a woman, he is a vessel. As I said this, God wants to live in you and with you. So do the devils, they want to do the same. And so when the devil is cast out of a man, his vessel is empty. So he must be filled with a vessel that is clean, that is strong, so that when the demon who is cast out, when he comes by, if he finds that the house is now filled, he will not trouble the man. I remember, as I told you, I think that When Brother John Mark was here, I think he told us the story about his experience when he was in Morocco. When he went to a home, a building was all empty, and was is known to the policeman, known to the people in that area that that home was haunted. And there are much activity that's going on, and people who have stayed in that house, they died. When the officer comes to the home in the morning, they find them dead. This has been a few cases like that. But Brother John Mark and his family need to have a place to live, to stay overnight, because they travel from where they were to this city of Morocco. So the policeman reluctantly granted them the key so that they could stay in that house. As you know the story, he opened the door and there was a very foul smell. And he could hear, running footsteps running around. And he said that he commanded, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the spirit to leave. And then he hear footsteps going out the door, going out the window and so on. And they stayed there in the night. He stayed there in the night with his wife and children. In the early morning as the sun rise, there was a knock on the door. Here came the police officer knocking on the door. He said, John Mark, are you alive? And John Mark said, yes, we are alive. And because of that, the policeman couldn't believe what to find them. Nothing happened to them. And because John Mark told him already, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And because of that, the mayor was informed, and the mayor granted John Mark a license to move around Morocco, because at that time there was a lot of rebels after Idi Amin's regime. Idi Amin's presence was gone and it was disposed of, and so there were a lot of guns and a lot of insecurity there, and so there were a lot of checkpoints. So now, because of this understanding, that a man is who possessed of a demon, the devil is cast out, need to be filled with the spirit of Christ. Otherwise, that demon going out, come back to, and he's trying to find a place to fill. So he will go back to the old home and see whether it's, filled up or not. If not, then he will try to bring back seven other spirits, and even stronger, to overcome that man. So this is important for us to understand about demonic activities on this ground. Now, when we talk about possession, demon possession, that's the most, the highest of influence where a man is totally controlled. And that the man becomes his prisoner. The owner of that man is the demon. So possession is ownership. And when the person gets into that state, that is very hard for the demon to leave. He will leave. He owns him already. You understand this? I know a case because I work in mental hospital. And that time I was fellowshipping in the Assemblies of God. And one day, the pastor came up to me and he asked me, he said, can we visit this certain person in mental hospital? And because I worked there, he wanted my help. And I found out that there was this deacon in the church who had a friend. The parents told him about the son. What happened? So he told it to the pastor. I said, pastor said to me, okay, let us go to the house first and find out what was the problem. So we visited the home. And when we were there, the family told us what actually happened to the son. I was there, the pastor was there with the deacon. So the mother told us this. He said, My son had a big belly. You know, a lot of people eat too much, they have this big belly. He's only in his 20s. Not even 30 years. He has a big belly. And because he had this big belly, his friend was making fun of him. You know, 6 months pregnant. You know what I'm saying? They would tease him. And he was so frustrated that he went over to the Chinese physician and asked whether anything could be done to remove this. The Chinese physician told him, just cut down your diet and do some exercise. You know? But since you couldn't get rid of that tummy, he went over to the medical, Western, or GP, you would call that. And they told him the same thing. But somehow he had someone who told him and said, hey, that can be gotten rid of by going and worshipping some deities. And the friend brought him to a shop where they sell all these little Chinese idols. Have you ever seen that in some shop? Selling all kinds of idols, and then you have this little idol in the plastic where people hang around their neck, and even some taxi driver, they were hanging in the rearview mirror, or even put it on the dashboard. But these are little ones. So he bought a few, and then he went home. My mother said that he will take this magnolia bottle, as some of you may not know, the milk bottle, not the kind that you have today, the milk bottle, which has a little big opening. He'll put it in the center of the room and put the idol on it and start to bow down in the living room. Even while your family were watching television, he would do that. And then he would dance around it and worshiping it. Now, he said this went for a few days, and one day, in the evening, he did the same, and there was this little idol there, one particular one, on top of that bottle. And he started bowing down, and then he started to jump on the sofa and everywhere, and, you know, make a whole lot of racket. And after it was over, they went to bed, and he went to bed, and the brother told us what happened. They were in the same room. The bed was opposite one side of the wall, and the other one over the other side. In the middle of the night, his brother was woken up from his bed, and he saw his brother sitting on the bed and stopped mumbling, jumbling. And then he said, he asked the brother, what's going on? And the voice spoke. He said, do not be afraid. I'm a 2-year-old boy in possession of your brother. Oh, that's scary. Now there's trouble now here. But it was a following day when they started to worship again that they called the police and they took him to the mental hospital. And that's when we went to the mental hospital. I was with the pastor only, two of us. And because I worked in the hospital at that time, this ward is not my ward. I was in another ward. So I had the key to the what we call the steel, to the room that where we put patients in there when they are violent. You know. So when I went there and I saw him in the ward, he was in that room. So I have the key. I opened the door and moved in. He was sitting on the floor in the middle of the room, and I called him by his name. And he looked at me. The moment he looked at me, I saw something in his eyes. You know, it was glassy and staring, and he looked away. Pastor came behind me, and I started to call him and talk to him. I said, look up. And he refused to look up. He just refused to look up. And this is one thing about it, the devil will not want to look you in the eye. When you are a Christian. When you know your faith. There's this glass over there looking. Well, he was there. Because the injection was given to him to calm him down. So he was there. So anyway, there's nothing we could do for him. The pastor's responsibility. No, I don't work in the war. But a week later, I visited him in that ward, and I found him sitting out in the field with the rest of the inmates. And then I got a chance to talk with him. I said, you know, well, you shouldn't be having all these idols with you. I threw all the way except one. I said, which one? The little one. I said, why do you want to keep it? Oh, you don't know, man. Then he speaks English. I said, okay. How are you feeling now? He said, I'm okay now. I said, why do you want to keep that one? He said, that one made me strong. I said, okay, when he comes, how do you feel? I feel very strong. And you won't believe it. I spoke at his case note, and the staff told me what happened. He was so violent that he could carry the whole bed. A steel bed, which need 2 persons just to lift it up and move. You know those steel bed, completely everything steel? He lifted the whole thing up and threw it across the dormitory, the wall. And I said, now how do you feel now after he's gone? He said, oh, I feel very weak, but I'm okay. You know, the thing is this, even, you know, what happened was that the doctor gave him what we call ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, where they shocked him. And he'll go into convulsion. And the treatment will go on for several days. And even the devil don't like it. Being shocked, you know, because in our hands, the body is everything going, the devil had to live for a while. But I don't know what happened to him because I was not in the ward. And the pastor responsibility, I don't know what he did. I was already, at that time, I was already active in my own ministry in the church. So, you know, I have seen cases, all kinds. Now, this is demon possession, where the person takes control. But there are the others where you have obsession. Now, Christian may not be possessed by demons, but many can be obsessed. Because this is a level of influence. As I said, there is always the demons out here in the world. And we also know that demon goes to church. He will tag along. Like in the days of Job, where Satan accused, you know, the Lord for blessing him. That's why he comes and, you know, worship God and make sacrifices to God. So here we have that the lowest level, the first level we'll say is obsession. People are obsessed. You know what obsession is? They cannot stop thinking about anything. They will keep dwelling on certain things. You understand? Obsessed with perhaps combing the hair in a certain way. Obsessed is always washing the hand as if this hand is, your hands are very dirty. Everything you touch are dirty. You have to keep on washing. Huh? Obsessed with, well, food. Get it? It must be cooked in a certain way. Obsessed with your layout, your home, the servant must always be there in a certain place, and you have seen people keep on moving in a certain display. Just, you know, it's just a, people just, mind are just dwelling on these things. Entertaining certain spirits. Well, when I say entertain certain spirit, I don't mean you go and entertain certain in the spirit, means that they influence things that get onto you, then you have to do it. Oh, I need to go with my friends, and I have to go out with my friends at a certain time and do certain thing. You see, that's a spirit that is influencing people's life. To wander from obsession, you may say that is a smaller thing. When you come to a place where you might even become so depressed, that if you don't do it, you know what I'm saying? That if you don't do a certain thing, after you feel depressed, oh, I didn't do it, that thing. You kill your mind, dress on it, you're obsessed, and then I become depressed. Oh, yes. I know what is depression like. Sometimes you're so depressed that people commit suicide. Or suicide, right? I don't pronounce it suicide or suicide. Suicide. Alright, so depression is a feeling of unhappiness. Because you didn't do whatever you need to do, and you didn't get whatever you wanted. And in such a situation, you don't have any enthusiasm for doing anything anymore. I went to a state of depression when I failed my English test, which was shocked. Even the principal was shocked in the school. My classmate was shocked. The reason I failed was, you know, in school at that time we will only have two modules. We were told to take one module, and because of that one module, the teacher was teaching one more module. When the examination came, when I look at the paper, I was in the mind. I said, "Oh my goodness, I don't know how to attempt this now. It's just kind of difficult." So I switched over to do the other module. It looks simple, but I make a mess of everything, and that's how I failed. I got a paper. I got my result. Everything was good. I could have gone into a great one, but because of the English, you fail, you get nothing. I came home, I walked home, my mom looked at me, she knows something happened. And I was sitting there depressed for several days, not talking, not eating, frustrated with myself for my stupidity, we would say. You know, and I was just wondering, what am I going to do? I went into a state of depression, not talking to anyone, just refused. But then, come to a time that I have to wake up. They're like, well, redo the whole paper. No, need just one paper, the whole exam. In those days, no, the certain country, you fill the paper, you do that. No, in our days, back then, you have to do all your six subjects at one shot. And because I was working, I took it as a private candidate, I'm not allowed to take pure science. I cannot even take pure biology, which I love very much. I could even easily get a distinction. No, you cannot. So the only subject I could take is health science. So you know a lot of things went through a people's life. And if you don't wake up, you can go into the state of depression. The next level of it is suppression. Now suppression is where the devil continue put you down, where you know you suppress your growth. Because you know when you have depression, there's no enthusiasm to do anything. That's when suppression comes in. And you don't want to do anything, it prevents you from growing up. You know, sometimes you tell people, hey, grow up, man. You say acting like a child. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. People sometimes in the state, they don't want to grow up. They don't want to grow up. They just fight for with anything, everything. Or fight for with, like, I'm depressed, or fight for with, the people are so bad, this, this, or whatever. Depression, you go through a lot of things in the mind. And therefore, when this suppression comes in, demon suppress to where you just don't want to do anything. You know, in Christian life, there are a lot of Christians, they don't grow. A 20-year-old Christian who has been Christian for 20 years knows nothing compared to one who has been a Christian for 5 years. Why? The one who 20 years says, well, it's okay, I go to church, what, you know? I'm a Christian, I go to church, I'm going to heaven when I die. They don't want to have anything. They're actually being suppressed in some way. Because the devil has him saying, you're okay, you know. Go to church as well as you like. Whereas the one who is 5 years and been going to church, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, right, understanding can become very strong. So there are different forms of suppression. And the suppression basically is to prevent you from growing. The next level, the fourth level before you go, the process is the level of oppression. Oppression is the devil or the demon putting pressure on you. making you uncomfortable. Oppression. Making you very uncomfortable. Then you become agitated. And that's why when you become agitated, the next stage is whatever controls you. Because he come to you for us so much already with giving you obsession. Depression, suppression. Then go up to the stage where you're so oppressed, the devil takes over. But there are some cases that you find that people just get possessed by demons. Because we don't know what's going on in their life. Suddenly, hey, this person is okay. All of a sudden, he acts like that. So many times you do not know what's in his life. Sometimes, you know, a child that is very quiet at home, behaves, or, you know, a man or woman, there's something going on. He goes out, come back, we don't know what's going on. But there's something going on. Between oppression and possession, there's one case I know in the hospital where I work. There was this mental patient. He was sick by himself. Food come, he will eat properly. You give him a banana, you take the banana, he'll peel the skin. He will eat it proper. But if you tell him, eat the whole thing. And he would just take whole banana, skin it all, he just bite through it. You give him a mango, without telling him anything, he will peel the skin off and eat. But I say, eat the whole thing. He will take the whole mango and just bite through, even trying to bite through the seed. You see, all that possession and oppression, the demon is working in the mind. Just so much so that whatever you say, the patient will just hear the voice. Obey the voice. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. Now, of course, in mental hospital, when you talk about science, medical science, they always talk about schizophrenia, obsession, paranoia. They always use terms like that. But not knowing that demons is actually involved. Do you understand? The other time that I was depressed, I want to tell you this because, you know, that you can understand how a brother or sister is going through. I went to La Paz. I thought you all remember this. I went to La Paz, Bolivia. And La Paz, Bolivia, it's, I think, 3 miles high. You know, it's one of the highest cities, in fact, the highest city in the world. When I flew there in the evening, my plane landed in the evening with sunset. I came out. I said, nothing happened because I just came on the plane. So the brother brought me to the hotel. So when I got out of the car near the hotel, I saw people are just walking very slow. I didn't know what happened. Everything seemed to be okay. I checked in the hotel, had my meal. Alright, talked a little with the pastor. Then I went to sleep. Now, when I lined up to sleep around, well, I don't know how much, maybe 9, 10 o'clock. At midnight, I got up with a headache. So severe. I cannot move. If I move my head a little bit, it's just like the egg being shaken inside the pain. Something is moving and locking my head, and it causes severe pain. Fortunately, my toiletry is just beside my bed. And there was 2 Panadols inside there, you know, painkillers. So I took the Panadol slowly and put them on and swallowed it. And I went to bed after that for a while. After it started to work, I got up again about 3 a.m. at that time, in the morning. 3 a.m. again, the pain was there. And I find it hard to breathe. I woke up slowly from the bed, the head was still in pain. I went to the bathroom, turned on the hot water. or I have to steam myself up. Then breathe. And I told you, I went a bit on and off. I slept in the morning. I got out of the hotel. I went to ask the hotel people, where is the pharmacies? They told me just next door, down the road. I went out. I went to the pharmacy and asked the pharmacy. I said, do you have Panadol? But they are Spanish speaking. The woman doesn't understand. So I said, Panadol. Oh, Sorochi. So I don't know why he was not telling me. Then he showed me some kind of a tablet. Then I read it. Ah, for mountain sickness. Okay. She gave it to me. Then I took out my hotel card. I said, I don't have money. Only dollars. At hotel. I come, pay. Oh, okay, okay. I got out of the pharmacy and here came the pastor and I asked the pastor, my problem. He said, oh, the mountain sickness, you are from the lowland and this is a high mountain altitude, oxygen level is so low. And that's what happened to me. Well, I was there for a week, you know, after the ministration, I came home. When I came home, 2 or 3 weeks later, something happened to me. And my lips blow up, all of a sudden, tingling sensation, and it started to blister, to start coming up. You could see it coming out, so out there, an hour you see. Another hour you see, oh, stop breathing, coming out. And it's painful. And I don't know what that is. I showed my wife. My wife never seen it. I never seen it as a nurse. We were nurses. So, it was so painful. And the blister started coming out. I started to break out the blister to ease the pressure of it. I put some cream, you know, whatever, antiseptic things like that. And a week later, it's the pain subside until 1 week later it disappeared. Again, about a month later again, it just appeared again. I said, what on earth is this? And you know, at that time, the computer, you know, done and so on. My wife tried to find out. We came across a website of a doctor who said, you can ask any question, we'll answer it. So I sent an email and asked, tell the doctor what happened, where I've been, and things like that. This doctor refused to tell me the answer. He referred me to a website. Oh, very strange, you know. So I went to a website. And what does the website tell me? Oh, you have herpes simplex. And this is usually caused by sexual activity. I says, what? You know how frustrated I was? That this is a sexual thing. That's what the doctor refused to tell me. I asked me to go to the website and read it. I read it. And it says, 12% of the population in America suffer from this through sexual activities. 1% of those who get it, they got it through stress, and you give the other reason, lack of oxygen. What is it that people, you know, see a person with this thing? Oh, they must be committing sexual offense. And there's no answer to this thing. So he said, only get Zoberax. Buy Zoberax. And Zoberax is about $200. And it doesn't cure. It's only suppress the pain. And then after that, when I bought it, it's gone. Okay. One day I was going to Sri Lanka. That thing blew up a week or so earlier. And it takes a week for it to subside. And as it subside, I was going to Sri Lanka, I went to collect my etiquette. I was on a motorcycle. As I was traveling, it was drizzling. Now, as I was going up the slight slope, in front of me was a car. There were two lanes. I was on the left lane, and the car was on the right lane. Now, he was far away from me, and suddenly he stopped because in front there was a taxi was going to turn right. And I was on the left lane. So he was on that, you know, right lane, behind a taxi that had stopped waiting to turn. He decided to filter out all of a sudden. And I saw him filter out. I had to press on my brake. But because it's where I had pressed it slowly, I was asleep because the road is being oil. And you know, because I pressed so slow, I hit into his car and I fell off to the left. Now, falling on to the left, fortunately it was not a three lane. If it was a third lane and there's a car coming behind, I would be gone. I wouldn't be here talking to you. But when I fell, I scraped my leg and the skin came off. The man got out of the car and says, "What happened?" I said, "What do you mean by what happened?" "You know what happened." "Okay, I call an ambulance." And I was, 3 days later, I'm supposed to go to Sri Lanka. "So what happened?" I said, "No. Because, you know, you go through all the formality, wasting my time, I have to go and collect my air ticket." I said, "You give me some money for all this problem." He saw my foot. He gave me $200. "All this, all I have. $200. What can $200 do? If I would let the police come and all this, I could sue the issue, I could get more. Because it takes a long time for that leg to heal, and because the skin is gone, the healing takes what we call granulation. It takes a long time. Now, I got my ticket on the plane. That herpes was supposed to heal up. On the plane itself, when I was sitting there, the tingling sensation came back. When I arrived in Sri Lanka, the thing became red. Oh my. I brought with me some cream to apply so that it doesn't, you know, look for people will not be able to see what it is. It was terrible. Brother Jimmy has seen it. It was awful. When I came back, I was very upset, and I just have to talk to God. I said, "Lord, I'm not going to travel anymore because I can't. If it does grow every time I go overseas and this whole thing, what am I going to do?" And well, again, it started to happen again. And I don't even know how many tablets I have to take of the Zobirax. So I googled. By God's grace, the answer was found on the internet. Because of lack of oxygen, use oxygen to kill those viruses. And you know that's the answer God had given me. When Zara was overseas in America, he came back and told him to buy me all the oxygen. And unfortunately, he was on the way back, and that very time that it happened, he came back with the oxygen, pure oxygen, liquid oxygen. It burns. I soak it in hydrogen peroxide, a gauze, cotton wood, and scrape it, and all the blood starts oozing out. It's very painful. I break up all the blisters. The whole mouth is so raw, it's so swollen. I just scrape it up once and for all. The man said that you use it once, that you kill it properly, it'll be gone. And I take the oxygen, spray on it. It's pure oxygen, liquid oxygen. It makes me jump. I jump in the home because it's so painful. And I never come back. You know, but during that time, it is that frustration, it is that, you know, when you're under the stage where you are in pain and you are depressed with these things, and the devil began to suppress you, you know, I said, "Lord, I'm not going to travel anymore. I'm not going to do anything because I can't do the ministry." You understand what I'm saying? And that's why sometimes when we are angry, when we are upset or whatever, it is cool down. And think. All things happen for a reason. I mean, I went to La Paz, what did I do? Nothing. Can I got this? So what is the reason? Reason to learn that God is the answer. Amen. That He will be around to help. He's teaching me patience. Teaching me a lot of things to trust in Him. To believe. No matter, the devil has a way of doing a lot of things. You understand that? Alright, I want to show you a verse in the scripture here. 1 Corinthians 10, 20-23. I want to show you this verse. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, the sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. This passage of scripture is interesting. If I were to ask you to explain to me, you'll find it very hard. But to many Christians, all very easy. 99.9% of Bible teacher, pastor, preacher, and believer, this is how what they think. How do they explain? Paul is saying that you cannot drink the communion cup of the Lord and then that of the devil. You cannot come to the Lord's communion table and the table of the devil. Now that's not what the Bible is teaching. We have a problem here because sometimes the Greek, the Hebrew expression is not the expression of the Western mind, from which of course we get our first English Bible, King James. That's one thing about it. Nothing to do with Greek. Nothing to do with Hebrew or anything like that. It's the expression. So now, here we look at, when we talk about the cup of the Lord, why are people thinking that it's the communion cup? Because it's thinking the cup of the Lord. Because that is the mention of the Lord's table, so it must be the Last Supper table. No. Let us look at Matthew first. Chapter 20, verse 22. And we will see to find an answer. Because why do we need to study this verse? Because you see, there is the influence of the demons. The devil is very interested to get at anybody in the world, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, they'll get. And you know, the devil is not so much worried about the non-Christian. The devil is very much angry against the people who believe in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Well, the sinner and the sinner, they are gone until they come to Christ. But when they come to Christ, the devil is angry because the world belongs to the devil. He wants everyone. So, Matthew 20 and verse 22. But Jesus answered, okay, in fact, this is... Okay, we read from verse 20, so you can understand why we are getting it. Verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desire a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what would thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, you shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared on my father. So who is this mother of the Zebedee children? And who is these two sons? You also know by now. Zebedee sons is John and James. They're the son of Zebedee. The mother came and said to Jesus, grant that you may see that one of them is on your right and the other on the left. Jesus made this question. Now you look at 22, right? Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? James and John said, we are able. And Jesus said, indeed you are able. So you see, what Jesus is talking about, are you able to drink of the cup of the communion that I'm drinking of? It's nothing to do with that. The word cup, the cup of the Lord, the cup that I drink. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, what did he say to the Father? If it is possible, remove this cup. Remove the cup of the communion table. You see, people need to understand when you use the word cup, cup means what? Huh? Remember, what's this? Mystery Babylon. The woman with the golden cup. Right. And caused the nation of the world to fornicate with her. She offered it to them. What is this cup? Fellowship. Come, join me. Have something in common. You get the point? That mystery Babylon can offer the cup to anybody who wants it. But when it comes to the cup of the Lord, it is only given. Only people that belongs to Christ are able to share in this cup. Now remember, if you are knowing the Hebrew tradition, and if you don't know about Hebrew tradition, just go and watch just one movie and you'll understand the tradition. The Fiddler on the Roof. That one movie will tell you about the tradition. When a woman and a man is getting married in the Hebrew tradition, they will be under a kippah. And a man or woman will have a cup that they both drink. And after that, the cup is put on the floor and they step on. Now, that cup is between the husband and the wife. That cup is not offered to anybody else, huh? You understand? It's a fellowship. The bond between the husband and the wife, not to a third party. So here we have the Branhamite. They have a third party. Brother Branham. Oh, Brother Branham. See, we are with Christ. We are not with Brother Branham. You understand what I'm saying? That cup is between the Christ and the bride. So you have to be part of that bride to drink of the cup. Matthew, when Jesus said to the two sons of Zebedee, are you able to drink of the cup that I'm drinking? Are you able to go through the baptism that I go through? He says, yeah, we are able to. Why? They did. The cup of Christ is the suffering, the bitter cup of death. Yeah? Now in the King James translation, you have in Matthew that verse, the cup, able to drink the cup, and also go to the baptism that go with. But in other translation, manuscript of the Syriac version, and the Ethiopian version, the cup and the baptism is the same thing. It's only that in King James, the way it is written, which from the original rather we say, is to different shape, one of the bitter cup of death and baptisms of suffering. And James and John, they went through it. Do you understand that? So now, when you look at 1 Corinthians, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord. That is, you cannot have fellowship or the fellowship cup of the Lord the fellowship cup of the Lord. He said that you are one with the Lord, you are fellowshiping Him, then you cannot also fellowship with the devil. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean, of course, that you cannot have pagan friends. It doesn't mean that. You understand? It doesn't mean that you cannot have pagan friends. It means that you cannot keep on, well, I go to church, I'm a Christian, this and that. Next moment, after a month or two, you become, oh, you know, I'm a Sunnis or whatever you are. You cannot go from here and there and then say, oh, it doesn't matter to be with this group of, and then worship with them. No, you cannot. You can't. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table. And what's the Lord's table? Here, the word Lord's. In the Greek, is kurios. Kurios. Now, you know one thing? I already told you. There are only one time, I mean twice, rather two times, that the word Lord, they connected to sole possession, things that belong completely to Him and Him alone. The word Lord that is found in the book of Revelation and where Paul said about the Lord's Supper. Remember, the Lord's Supper is kuriakos. In the Greek, it's kuriakos. It means it belongs to Him. That is the Lord's Supper. There's a Paul said, when you come to take the Lord's Supper, right? Come to the Lord's Supper. He's talking about that which belongs entirely to Him. The day of the Lord, kuriakos, the Lord's day. That is His day when He comes and take over the world. But here, the Lord's table is not kuriakos. It is kurios. You understand what I'm saying? Now, go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. When you come together into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You see the word Lord's Supper? Here it is not the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 10. It is the Lord's table. The Lord's Supper is the one last meal where Christ partake, where He would go to Calvary, shed His blood for you and me. That's the supper of the Lord. That is one supper that we who are believers can partake. But the Lord's table, every one of us also can partake. But what is that? That is the fellowship table of teaching of God's word, the food, the doctrine. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table. That means the doctrine, you're eating on the food. Yeah, you know, one day we're all going to meet the Lord and there'll be a table thousands of miles long. And what will be on the table? You understand? So when we talk about Lord's table, partaking of the Lord's word, fellowship Him over Him with His word. Yeah. You know, in fellowship, that's what we have. A good thing is this. On the table that is usually, you know, if someone invited you to a feast in the home, on a table, what do you normally have? I mean, traditional Chinese would have all those food on table, and you would have tea, Chinese tea, oolong cha, or jasmine tea. Okay, but today a lot of pop, you know, Coca-Cola and all that stuff. But in the Hebrew context, what's on the table? It's also a cup and all the food, and a cup of usually wine. So you have the drink and you have the food. So you take the cup up and you say, Kanpei. Cheers, right? In this, what does that mean? You are trying to have acquaintance. When you do that, you toast to one another's good health. You understand what I'm trying to get at you? It's fellowship. And you fellowship over the food you eat. Because, you know, when people are satisfied, they rejoice. And you talk more, you feast. So, there is the drink, and there is the food. Do you get me? So, of course, this is spiritual. So, you cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and the Lord's food, which is doctrine and teaching of the Word of God and go to the table of the devil and learn all that stuff that they have. You can't. You know, this is the food and it's enough for me. I don't have to eat any other food. Now, if you want to read any other religious book, it's fine. You see? But don't go eat it. Hey, yeah, may I read this book, this pagan book? Huh? Whatever it teaches there inside there, I think it is also true. Then what are you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright? So it is important for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, let us fill the Holy Spirit deep within. And don't say that you're a Christian. Why not? I'm a Christian. I was a Christian since 1980. Doesn't mean a thing. So you're a Christian of 1980. Is that enough? I was filled with the Holy Ghost back in 1980. Is that enough? We have, as the Bible said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just one time. One meal is not enough. One drink is not enough. We have to be constantly filled and filled deep within. I hope that you understand that. Go to the book of Revelation 18, verse 2. It's just one verse. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the home of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful birds. Yeah. That's Babylon. See, that's a figurative statement. Allegory, metaphorically spoken. And you know, very interesting the way it is spoken. The habitation of devils, the hole of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful birds. Oh, it's Mystery Babylon. You know Mystery Babylon. And we know it's already fallen. It's falling, falling. But he hasn't come and he has not been destroyed yet. And you know, there's so much uncleanness there. And it says here, a cage of every unclean and hateful birds. Right? I remember a long time when I read an article, sort of a little proverb thing. You know, they're just birds, different birds gathered together on the branches of trees, of a tree, and they start to discuss something. The parrot say one thing, the crow say one thing, the sparrow say another thing, the parrot say another thing, and they talk and they talk and they yakety yakety and caw 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 and all that, the parrot, and here he was, the eagle, the set man, listening to all of that. And there was this dove that sat there, listening to all of that. They decided to fly away. So all those talks are for the birds. And as you see, sometimes, you know, a lot of things that have been said here and there, they're all for the birds. But the clean birds will not have a part of all these things. Huh? Remember the parable Jesus said? How did the birds come in? Sit on that tree, that is true. Everybody wants to hang around something good, but few are going to listen to it and obey it. One thing for sure, as I said this, devil feeds upon false doctrine. And when you have all kinds of people coming together, yakety yak, and they will all say their views. The devil really enjoyed that. Because they feed on false doctrine. Romans chapter 8, verse 1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. No more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Now the Bible did not just finish and stop at what it says here. Let me just read it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Full stop. Now, it says, who walk not after the flesh, right? But after the Spirit. Neither did it stop right after the word flesh. It continued to say, walk after the Spirit. You see, the importance of walking in the Spirit is because this world is just going to be filled more with the opening out of the bottomless pit. As it gets wider, the mouth gets wider, or the lid is open wider, more demons are let loose on this earth. And we are seeing it happening now. Verse 6 to 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, there is the spirit, the flesh, and the carnal mind. The spiritual mind, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind. We will say in a sense, quite a misnomer, fleshly mind. But actually a mind not necessarily is fleshly. But the Bible Spirit said, for to be carnally minded is death. You know, I wake up in the morning, I need to have breakfast. Because that's the flesh, because that's the thinking. We need the food. Right. I need to work to get a wage so that I can survive. You understand? The flesh says, I'm thirsty, I need to drink. That is the mind of the flesh of the five senses that is needed. But that is not carnal. But the carnality that comes in the flesh is like, tomorrow is Monday. I must go eat my misyam. If I don't eat my misyam, boy, I'm very angry. Okay, I went on Monday and I eat my misyam. Tuesday, you know, I come back Monday night, tomorrow is Tuesday. I also must eat misyam. You know, your mind came on dwelling on this. And all you think of is misyam, misyam, misyam. Or the man who's thinking on, no, I'm going to hit my $1 million income, you know, within 2 years. He came on thinking about, you know what I mean? The desire of the flesh became high enough to where you become carnal. And this carnality is death. It's not that you cannot eat mee siam or you cannot eat your wagyu beef, but the excessive thinking of it, you dwell on it, on your career, on anything, and focus on it, and your life, your mind is centered on it, it is death. You know? And we are Christian, this thing is not supposed to be. You know, I read today in the paper about this woman in Singapore who passed away, put his her own obituary even before he died. She died. And she gave $1 million to the World Vision, to Africa, to help those African people, at least to help the young children, to have an education. Wow. You know what I mean? Thinking of others. And she would just go to the hawker store, hawker center, just eat simple food. You see, that is natural life. But the divine, you know, we have to be always spiritually minded so that we will not be subjected to carnality and don't let carnality come out from the flesh. the five senses that's operating in us, in the world, right? The devil can use it and hide it and manipulate it. Verse 9 to 14. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Yeah, and that's so true. If any man is... Now, Paul is talking to the Christian writing this letter in Rome, to the Romans. You understand now? Okay, he says, now, if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So it doesn't mean he says, I believe in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Ghost. Until you're born again, and you're truly born again, you get the Holy Ghost. Alright? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwelt in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelt in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. I mean, living after the flesh means that you constantly, you know, desire what the flesh wants you to do. Okay, and then you become carnal. Fleshly is not sin in itself. When you need to eat food or drink or earn a living. Alright? But to be fleshly minded means you concentrate on this thing and you lead to carnality. Alright, and that's why it is dangerous. Verse 14 or verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are the sons of God, they shall be led by the Spirit of God. Am I reading it right? No, I'm not reading it right. Verse 40. For as many as are the sons of God, they shall be led by the Spirit of God. That's how many people read the Bible. You know how much dangerous it is when you twist the Bible around. You see, he said that if you are led by the Spirit, then you are the sons of God. Not because you are the son of God, you will be led. And I'm a Christian. I have no problem, man. I have behaving like the African American. You see, I'm a Christian, you know, man. I'm okay. I go to church. I'm a Christian. I want you to know that. Huh? I'm bound for heaven. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. And then what do? You go out there with all the punk and all the, you know, doing all the crazy activities, perhaps disturb some people and mess up something, prefer something. You know, if you're a Christian, if you are truly a Christian, that Spirit of God should lead you. And if you are really led by the Spirit of God, then you are the sons of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Alright, so it's important to understand that don't let your nature, you know, I'm born like that, what can I do? Can I help? I'm born poor, so I have to steal something to eat. And there is a movie in Netflix I just saw a few days ago, or maybe last week, I can't remember. It's a true story, because it was from a book that was written by this young man. He's still alive. And the movie is called Hillbilly Elegy. You know, the mother loved the son so much when I was young, but she was on drugs. And she would hit the son and blow the son in. The son got into a state of shock every time when she behaved like this. And then they would shock each other and even vulgarity, you know. And the grandmother told the son, why is your mother behaving like that? It's because the father mistreated her. So that familiar spirit is passed down, you know. Until the son had to decide to break it. And everything changes. So you see, if you are born, it's nature. I mean, they were also poor, and they steal things too from the, you know, what's written in the book, and they stole things. But the thing is, they don't let nature how you're born with all this, don't let that be an excuse as a Christian. Yep, see now they can say, they can give excuses, but not us. But not us. We'll learn to live the life of Christ by the Spirit that leads us. Ephesians 4 and verse 17 to 20. Now I say, brethren, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness to the work uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Now let me say this in closing. The world that we are living now, with that verse in conclusion, we should walk not and let others in the world walk. The world is in darkness. It's getting dark. And I don't believe that there are more Christians believing, and there are more people believing in Christ than 20 years ago. Yeah, there may be a lot of people going to church because they're seeing all these things, they're failing for fear of the thing that is coming. Now, as I said, Bill Gates says that the pandemic will be over by the end of 2022. That's said Bill Gates. So we'll see what happens. But how did he know? How did he know? Did the Spirit tell him? Discern. But the world is in a stage right now so bad that you see in the paper, in our paper, there was a report that says China no longer trust or no longer respect America. What do you think? Of course. You see what happened? Even there are so many reports going on. China and Russia now are coming together to sanction against America. You know, America sanctioned this country, sanctioned that country, sanctioned this country. Now Russia and China are sanctioning America and the EU. Wow. All the time, America always have been the superpower, wanted to control the country. And I tell you this, there are the only two beasts mentioned in the book of Revelation. They are very powerful. And the Bible tells us how that the Spirit worked in these two nations. Two empires, these two beasts. Because the first beast has a woman sitting on it and controlling it. And it's coming to pass soon. You watch. Because all this time the ten horn has been having a mess in Europe. You know what happened. And then you know Brexit, yeah, and so many others trying to get out too. And they're all going to shake. You know, there's all the spirit is going to shake this whole beast. But the woman will ride her. And then the second beast. Gentle beast to begin with, but in the end, and my mouth will speak like a dragon. And you know, when the serpent speak, it's a very powerful voice. But that mouth has a tongue that is split, forked tongue. And that's why there's so much lying that's going on. And you know, I read the paper, I do research and going on. So I can tell you what I know, that many people in America don't even know about what's going on within their own country. And the same thing in many countries too. A lot of people don't know what's going on in the country because what the government is doing. But this one thing you need to know. All the things that is happening today, it's an influence of the demons. Demons control nations. When the demons fall from heaven, they started to squat. We will say, on the land of the country, in our control. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. Here we have Daniel's vision and how that the angel visited him. So in verse 13, the angel said, But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. So now I believe that this angel that was speaking to Daniel has to be Gabriel. And Gabriel wanted to come and reveal something to Daniel. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. So when you talk about the prince of the kingdom of Persia, he's not talking about the literal prince. He's talking about the spirit, the principality of the kingdom of Persia withstood the angel. But Michael came to the aid. So now we talk about this, hey, how can it be here? The Bible, have you not read? There is war in heaven. Right? When I talk about, the Bible says, but there is war in heaven. We're not talking about the heaven where God is. We're talking about this heaven. This first heaven. The angels of God are working. The angels of the devils are working. And there are wars being fought between them. And God's angels are watching over us. And satanic forces and the demons are fighting against them for coming to our aid. Well, don't think it is not. It is very real. If God were to take the veil away from your eyes and you see into that dimension, you'll find there's a lot of fighting going on. Even Hollywood can make movies about angel fighting. Yep. Verse 20 to 21. Then said he, know thou therefore wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. Huh? This angel said, I'm going to fight the prince of Persia. He's not talking about the literal prince. It's the principality. Now, Bible talk about principality in high places. You talk about principality, though. You know what is principality, huh? People in authority. And these are demonic authority in a certain place. So say, I will come to you, but now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone, Lord, the prince of Grecia will come. When I'm gone, that other principality of this Persian, he will come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that hold with me in this thing but Michael, your prince. See that? Michael, your prince. Angel. Michael is your prince, Israel. There is a prince for Greece. There is a prince for America. There is a prince for Russia, for China. There is one for UK, for EU. There is one for Singapore. Every country has the principality that controls and move its forces. So today what we do? Russia is on the rise. America keep on hitting her, hitting Russia, hitting our China. China is our enemy number one now, most dangerous country. What is China doing? China is now very powerful now. But you know, China is not the attacking forces. What is America afraid of? It's the economy, the wealth, the money. The other day, the news, have you know about it? America is telling certain country not to buy oil from Russia. We sanction you if you do. But then himself buy oil from Russia. Hypocrisy. So these are the demons that are manipulating a country over evil men. And all men doesn't know. And when they do, they create all this problem and they do not know that they are being influenced by demons. And country will go to war because of this. China and Korea, they're building up missiles. Even Taiwan is doing that too. And we, the whole world, is no longer safe because every one of us being under scrutiny by AI. Isn't it? Your phone, your computer, whatever. There's only now, like, you have already your number 666, it seems. Yeah. And what about all these senseless killing? In America, in Colorado, and what happened over in Atlanta? And so many other cities. Well, what is going on? Racism? Some are not, of course. The one in Boulder, they are not. But what happened to him? What happened to him? They said that he's gone bonkers. But why? Because the spirit that is influencing. You know, when people are dissatisfied with, look at what's happening in Myanmar. Right? And it can cause the citizen to get so buoyed up that he will go mad and take a gun and start shooting. The police, not anybody. We're living in a world that is no longer safe. Whether it's racism just because of the color. And I remember back then after 9/11. Here we have I have a friend who is a Sikh. He said when he traveled, I can't remember where he traveled to, UK or America, I can't remember. He said at the airport, he was put aside and interrogated. And he showed him that I'm a Singaporean. I'm not from Taliban area or Afghanistan. Or any place like that. Or just because you wear a turban. So people are profiling and they don't like you. And that is just that one bad hit. That one guy who did something bad, and people don't like their race. Just an Indian person who did something wrong, everybody thinks that all Indians are like that. One Muslim, everybody thinks all Muslims are like that. One Christian, everybody thinks all Christians are like that. We are living in a world that is so influenced by demons now. As a Christian, are we living the life that pleases God? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? That we can say that we have the faith, no fear, love everyone. It doesn't matter what color they are. Yes, sometimes you're frustrated because somebody did the stupidest thing you don't like. But we must understand that because of demonic activities and because of what the devil is doing, that person is affected. Isn't it? May the Lord help every one of us to understand. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. As your children, Father, guide us, lead us, Lord. Teach us thy way, O Lord, and help us always to remember your precious word, to always be partaker of your cup and of your table. And Lord, we'll be having full fellowship as the bridegroom with the bride, and even the bride getting ready as the wife. Let us have this intimacy with you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your blessing and your gift to us. And we ask the Lord you bless the rest of the day. And the Lord, wherever we may be, let your presence be with us, Father. Asking this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.